a chance to feel like heroes too. Forever we'll win, and if we should lose, we know someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way.
Welcome back to Holy Cow, a Cubs podcast. I'm your host, Sean Holland. And in this episode, we're doing a season preview for the Cubs. As you know, we've made it to opening day and, you know, got through the spring. And there's lots of positive feelings about this team. And I thought I would have Matt Clapp from Awful Announcing and just his general Cubs Twitter presence. And yeah, I just had him on to talk about everything heading into the season, what to expect from the hitting, the pitching, and of course, the new manager, Craig Counsell, who, spoiler alert, we both really like. But anyway, as always, you can find Matt at the Blog Finds on Twitter and Awful Announcing and just the comeback and got a few places. And yeah, this is a really good conversation. It's good to have baseball back. So here's Matt. All right, Matt, welcome back to Holy Cow. It's always good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me again, Sean. I've had a lot of fun on here over the last few years.
All right, so I guess we did it. We made it to opening day. Basically, it's tomorrow when we're recording this on Wednesday, but we got through spring training. The Cubs relatively injury-free other than Jameson Taillon hurting his back a little bit, but otherwise he got through the spring in pretty good shape, and they got Cody Bellinger. And so I guess I'll just ask you, how do you feel about the Cubs going into this season?
Truthfully, I was hoping that they would maybe do a little bit more entering the off season. But I understand that, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, I mean, now that's a whole different situation altogether. But there were a few things that, like, I understand not shopping for the, or fishing for the, you know, the big, big fish, et cetera. But they at least got Cody Bellinger out of it. And, you know, Shota Imanaga is pretty intriguing. Looked great this spring. So I think they did, like, at least what they had to do. I was hoping that I basically felt like maybe one more bat or one more pitcher would make me feel a lot better. But, you know, they're entering the season looking basically as good as anybody in the AL Central, at least. And honestly, they're probably right there on paper with anybody but the Dodgers and the Braves in the National League. So, yeah, I think that, you know, they definitely feel really, really good about their farm system. And they're probably going to need some returns from that in order to, like, exceed expectations this year.
And I guess also, you know, they're in a good position if they need to make a trade at the deadline. They have a lot of pieces that they could offer in a trade. So that's also if they can be in the race, which hopefully they will be. I mean, they're, as you were saying, they're pretty close to most of the other teams other than the two, like, elites. But other than that, they're a good matchup with pretty much everyone else, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like you said, I mean, they have this farm depth now, and you want to get as much help as you can for your own big league club from it, but you can also use it to acquire proven good big league players. So I'm assuming that that's still going to happen a little bit. Honestly, I thought that there would be a trade like that by now, even potentially on, like, some of their fringe guys on the roster, like a Nick Madrigal or something. He had another injury that kind of set him back. But I thought that there might be another trade or two coming, and I totally agree with what you're saying, and that's my hope, that if they're hanging in there come June, July, that they will look to make a bigger splash. There's a lot of interesting pitchers out there. Like, I would have potentially liked to just do that before the season. But I also, under some, you know, it takes two sides to make these things happen. And some of these teams, like the Cleveland Guardians and the Miami Marlins, some of these teams that might have a match for a bat or for pitching, you know, they're trying to compete too. And teams don't really want to give up before the season starts. So I would hope that if the Cubs are contending, that they will absolutely look to make a big deal like that. And, you know, ideally for a cost controlled player that, you know, you're going to have for beyond just 2024 and can be a core part of this team. Because, I mean, let's be honest, this far, like all these prospects, that the truth is that they're just not going to all have a place to play anyways. I mean, the depth right now is probably better than it's ever been. They just don't have, you know, the lockdown sure guys that the 2015, 2016 group has. But in terms of depth and major leaguers, like there are a lot on that farm. And I mean, they have so many guys that would interest other organizations. So I hope they're willing to dip into that for some proven talent soon.
So I guess we'll look at each like area of the Cubs going in. I guess we can start with the hitters. And just, I feel, obviously a lot of this is based on last season too, at the end of the season, but you have to feel very good about Seiya Suzuki with the way he's hitting in spring and the way he finished 2023.
Oh, absolutely. Like I think from August to September last year, statistically, he was like a top three hitter in the league, just absolutely mashing the ball. He had that one unfortunate, you know, fly ball dropped, and that I thought was pretty unfair. You know, the narratives and everything, people getting angry at him and stuff. The Cubs would not have even been where they were if he wasn't carrying them on offense those final 2 months. I mean, he was absolutely awesome. And he had another month like that. Maybe it was it May or June. Mm-hmm. But he had 3 months that were just absolutely elite hitting. He had one that was kind of eh. And then he had two that were pretty not good, you know. But he's had a lot of evidence of being a big-time bat. And this spring, he looks so locked in and good. Like, if he put it together for 4, 5, 6 months, I mean, he can be a top-five hitter in this league. And you know, definitely the best hitter probably in this lineup on paper. So that is definitely a way for them to, you know, do better than the projections, et cetera, will think if Seiya Suzuki can be that guy for a full season. Because, I mean, he has all the ability and he looks so comfortable and locked in right now. So that could be huge for them early on.
And obviously now, the drum I've been beating for at least a year was putting Christopher Morel at third base. And they did it this spring, and the defense has been, I mean, obviously there's still the iffy throws, but it's been pretty good, actually, and I feel really good about his bat, so I'm thinking he's going to have a big year. Of course, I've been wrong before with these predictions.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about Christopher Morel's potential. He's already shown plenty of that, and I mean, he reminds you so much of Javier Baez, I think, in ways, just the natural tools and talent. And I mean, this guy's still very young. I mean, he was up producing much sooner than anybody thought he would be. So it's very possible that he has another level still to reach. And I'm all about giving him as much of a chance at third base, you know, as they can afford to. Like, obviously, if he's making like 3 errors in a game or whatever there, and it's really hurting them, you might need to move off that or be much more selective with how you use him. Maybe bring in a Miles Mastroboni or so-and-so Nick Madrigal later in a game, you know. But the only way you get better at it and really improve is by opportunity and reps. And Craig Counsell has been upfront about, you know, understanding all that. So I think that they're going to give Chris a legitimate chance there. And, you know, if he can just be passable with his bat, he can really, really provide a lot of impact. And yeah, so we know he has the ability. Like, he showed that in the early minor leagues at third base. It's a matter of harnessing those tools. And, you know, sometimes the guys can't get over those issues, or his throwing arm is maybe too erratic. But, you know, he has all of the haves in terms of the tools. So it could just be a matter of getting the chance and getting comfortable.
Because there's another story I always think about back in the day was when the Cubs traded for Aramis Ramirez. They always said Ramirez is like, this glove is bad. He's a good hitter, but you can't put Aramis Ramirez at third base. And, you know, the Cubs said we're going to work with him, and we think he's got a lot of ability in his glove, and he turned out to be not a great third baseman, but a decent third baseman.
Right. I mean, exactly. Sometimes it's just all about a guy getting a chance and getting reps and getting comfortable over there. And, I mean, Christopher Morel, like, there's a world where he becomes a gold glover. I mean, he has that ability. just like it's possible maybe he doesn't figure it out and the struggles continue, but you know, he has the tools that either have it or don't. So that's a good place to start. And worst case, I mean, if he keeps hitting like he has the last couple of years, that's still a, you know, a really strong DH. So he's definitely an impact bat in this lineup and can make a big difference for them going forward.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you made Nick Madrigal into a decent third baseman a bigger hurdle to climb than turning Morel into a third baseman. That's that good. But
oh yeah, that one shocked me last year, honestly. Like it was kind of a joke last spring training, remember? Everybody's like, I don't know if this is really gonna work. And he was worth, like, I don't have it in front of me, but I mean he was really high up there in like defensive runs saved, and like he graded out really, really well at third base. I don't know if it's just, you know, that sustainable that he's necessarily great there, but he did a lot. He figured out some things like how to cut, you know, cut down the throw length. He would do those little runs after he'd field the ball. And so there's just some like nuances, some things you can figure out once you get comfortable there. I like with Chris, you don't have to worry about the arm strength. It's more of just controlling that and, you know, not throwing the ball 10 rows up into the stands.
All right. So what are some other offensive observations you'd like to, you've noticed or want to make about going into this year?
Yeah, so I think that it's going to be really interesting, honestly, because like we talked about Seiya. Seiya is the one, I would say Seiya and Ian Happ and maybe Nico Horner, I guess, are kind of the guys that you probably know what you're getting, right? Like Dansby Swanson, he looked really good for the first half of last year, and then he fell off a bit. I think you're just at least hoping he can be like a league average hitter, maybe a bit more. I would like to see him hit for some more power than he did last year. I think he can be a 25 homer kind of guy, you know. You know, the big wild cards are like, it's Cody Bellinger's a huge one. I mean, are we getting the all-star level hitter he was last year? Probably not going to be that like MVP level guy he was for a bit with the Dodgers. But he was really, really good last year, blending the contact average and power, not striking out much. And then there's Michael Busch when you're talking about, you know, former Dodgers. What is he really? He's a big wild card, I think. I could see him being anything from maybe a younger hitter that's having some struggles, maybe a little below league average, or maybe he's really good immediately. So that's a big opportunity to potentially, you know, do better than the numbers on paper say. So there's a lot of interesting guys for sure. Maybe not as much certainty, but I think I like how it's coming together. And I think that you could get some help there potentially from the farm as the season goes along. Maybe PCA makes a jump and makes some improvements offensively. Maybe Matt Shaw even is the bat that can make an impact later in the summer. I mean, he's definitely on my radar in that regard. I think that guy can hit in the big league soon, maybe even now. I think with him, it's kind of like Christopher Morel, honestly, that you want him to probably get some regular playing time at third base, because second base and shortstop are, you know, if somebody has to play there very much, something went horribly wrong. So we don't want that to be the case. So I think Matt Shaw should get some third base time in the minors. And one way or another, that's a guy that could potentially play third base or DH for them. And I mean, even maybe like an Owen Casey or, you know, Alexander Canario. They have a lot of like guys on the fringes right there that can help out. And I'm hopeful that the big league lineup can at least do enough, and that we'll at least get like the 1 through 5, 6 hitters to be what we hope there.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by the idea of doing, you know, having a platoon at first base with Bush and Garrett Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it wouldn't work out, but I think it could work out. It's possible.
Yeah, and I think Garrett Cooper was a sneaky, nice pickup, even more so than maybe we realized at the time with Patrick Wisdom being out for a little bit. Garrett Cooper is a professional hitter. He has some pretty good power. He'll give you a major league at-bat, maybe a league average or better kind of hitter. But he's, you know, he'll give you a real at-bat and can drive in some runs. And like you said, he hit lefties really, really well, as you were alluding to, with a potential platoon with Bush, and especially if Michael Bush is struggling a bit. So that could be good. And one other thing, too, is Craig Counsell's already said that Ian Happ will be the opening day leadoff hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, like, I've wanted for a while. I don't know if David Ross, it may have been one of those things where the player is believed to be comfortable, you know, not batting there, batting in the middle of the order or whatever. But I thought we reached a point in the last couple of years where that probably should have been a switch made, because Ian walks so much and sees a lot of pitches. And with Happ, Suzuki, Bellinger, you're lining up basically your three best hitters, arguably, to get the most plate appearances, which is, you know, that's what you want. And he'll get on base a lot for those guys to drive in runs. And I also like it for Nico Horner to maybe be batting sixth or seventh, because he's a, you know, he's a very good contact guy. He'll hit for a, you know, a good average. And I like him with runners in scoring position. And I also like that he can probably run more freely on base paths when you're batting like sixth, seventh, eighth, when you're, you know, ahead of like a Yan Gomes or a Mike Tauchman or, you know, something like that, rather than, you don't want to get thrown out ahead of like Cody Bellinger, say a Suzuki, you know? So I think he can potentially be more useful for what he does best at that part of the order.
Yeah. So I guess we can kind of get into this now before we get to the pitchers. Just like, how big of an impact do you think Craig Counsell will make? We'll be on the margins, I'm sure, but he is one of, I think we both agree, one of the best managers in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to like grade them and everything, but he's been, in my opinion, the best manager the last few years. He would have been my choice if I could have had any manager. So having him fall into their lap was a pretty incredible outcome. And I mean, I don't know how good David Ross really was, but he kind of felt like replacement level-ish to me, maybe. And while I think that Counsell is in that like arguably best tier. So we don't really know how to quantify managers and all that, but I mean, if you watch the Brewers the last several years, it's hard to not think that he helped them overachieve. You know, like I tweeted out this offseason some numbers, and I shared them again, I think, yesterday on Twitter. But like, yeah, the Brewers almost every year have greatly exceeded their projected record by Fangraphs, for example. It was only 1 year that they didn't, of his 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And most of the years they exceeded by a lot. So, I mean, some of that was also because they had a really smart front office. You know, they did some really percentage things with roster building. And I mean, the players are ultimately the biggest thing. So it's probably a lot more than just Craig, but I absolutely think that he had a big impact on that. And I mean, when you just watch those Cubs Brewers games, you could just feel like he was usually winning the chess match, you know? And I mean, he's already started by just a very basic percentage thing, putting Ian Happ at leadoff, at least against righties. We'll see about lefties and all that. But I mean, that's already a big thing that could make a big difference. And we've seen the Brewers bullpen, especially over the last several years, just be great. Like, you know, the Cubs may not have a Josh Hader or a Devin Williams or whatever, but like, I think he's put those guys in the best position to succeed. So yeah, I don't know how much it's really worth, but I'm telling myself that they're like basically like at least 3 wins better with this manager upgrade, at least. Like, I think that if Craig Counsell was their manager last year, they would have won that extra 1 to 3, 4, 5 games to get into the playoffs. So, and I mean, when you look at this National League picture, I mean, like Fangraphs has the Cubs projected for 82 wins, the Cardinals 83 leading the division. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4 wins, whatever, that can be the difference between a division title or not. And then the National League wild card race, I counted 11 teams that are projected for like 77 to 85 wins. I mean, every single win can be a huge deal. So I think he's going to be a big deal in that regard. And I talked about with Morel earlier, I think he really gets that you got to give chances to such guys, and just the way he talks about some of the players and working with them. I think that, you know, there's going to be an unquantifiable thing that it could be huge. It could just be even one guy. Like, I think Joe Maddon made a huge difference on Javier Baez, for example. Yes. And not every manager would have. Like maybe Javi doesn't become a, you know, I know it was only a 2 or 3 year peak there of looking like a star level player, but you know, I think Joe Maddon, that was probably the most beneficial thing I think he honestly did with that team. So, you know, if Craig can get that sort of thing out of Morel or this guy and that guy, like that can be pretty enormous. So yeah, I think he's the best kind of manager you could get. And on the margins, that could be a massive thing for this team.
You almost didn't want to say that loud sometimes before because the whole rivalry thing. But yeah, I very much was like, if they could ever get him, it would be so huge. So
right. Well, and a big thing, you know, it's not just that they got him too. It's that they took him from the Brewers. So yes. It's like, if you can do that to your division rival, you know, I'm sure the Brewers will find a way to be annoying because they always do. But
yeah,
I'm very glad that he's on our side this time. That's a nice advantage.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll move to the pitchers now. And obviously, you got Justin Steele, who thankfully survived that comebacker that hit him in the knee and just caused everyone that watched it to panic for...
Yeah, that was terrifying for sure. That was like season flashing before your eyes sort of thing. Yeah.
But then we have, you know, I would say Hendricks' second starter. I guess it's kind of like negligible, like placing the people. Probably Shota third. Then Wicks, who I think I like Wicks being in the rotation. And then temporarily Saad, which will be replaced by Taillon, but what are you feeling about the rotation?
Yeah, so I mean the only thing we can say for sure is that Justin Steele is your number one starter, ace, etc. After that, I think it's going to be, I mean, we got to see how they do basically. Like Shota, I mean, we talked about it earlier. He's just looked incredible this spring, at least in terms of missing bats. I don't know what the exact numbers were, but I'll actually look that up right now. But he struck out like
a crazy
amount, 25 strikeouts in 12 and two-thirds innings.
Yeah.
So that is a really good sign. I know it's spring training. I know he's probably pitching to some double-A guys or whatever, but like that is a really good sign that his stuff is going to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to strike even college hitters out at that level, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really, really exciting. I think he might give up some home runs. I know that he gave up a lot of fly balls in Japan, and that's been kind of a concern. And he'll probably have some hiccups, but the fact that he's missing bats that well, and he doesn't walk many guys, like he's known for his impeccable command. So you put that maybe with this defense too, and hey, maybe he's a number two, number three legitimate, you know, kind of guy. We don't really know. He's definitely the big wild card, but I definitely feel like he's definitely the most upside-y one outside of Steele, right? So then with Kyle Hendricks, you hope that, you know, he's had his vintage Hendricks outings here and there, and then he's also had some where he gets roughed up the last few years. But I think you're hoping that he's just basically like a steady, you know, number three, number four kind of starter, hopefully an ERA under four, gives you innings, keeps you in most games. And then, you know, Taillon's out right now. I had hopes that, you know, and I still do, but this injury isn't the greatest start to that he would look more like that kind of, you know, number three, number four starter. They thought they were getting sub four ERA or low four ERAs, consistently 5 to 7 inning outings, maybe even 8 inning outing here or there. That was what he did the year before with the Yankees. And that would be really, really big for the staff. Just, you know, more consistently competent pitching, you know, that 6th inning, 3-run stuff is plenty fine. Mm-hmm. Usually more of that at least. Cause he was having some outings where he was just getting shelled last year. And I think he's better than that, but we'll find out there. And then you talked about Jordan Wicks. Jordan Wicks is really, really interesting to me. He did a really nice job coming up from the minors last year. I would like to see him miss more bats.
Mm-hmm.
And he did in the lower minor leagues. And then it stalled a little bit in that regard in Iowa and in the majors. He had that first start, I think, against the Pirates where he struck out like a bunch in his debut, right? And then after that, he was giving up a lot of contact. But I don't know. He's got an awesome changeup. He's got that like veteran presence and smarts. So I think he might be one of those guys that kind of always does a little bit better than you might think. And I have hopes that he'll. I know he's been working on one more pitch. I can't remember what exactly it was, but I have hopes that he'll like take that next step stuff wise, and maybe he can be more than just a back end guy if he's able to do that. But I think he's going to be the kind of pitcher that hangs around the league for a long time and keeps you in most games. And then Javier Saad is really, really interesting, right? He did such an awesome job last year. I wasn't sure what to buy with him, and then he just kept doing it and doing it. And like I think he might be more ideal as that kind of swing man or a long reliever, number six starter type, and that's what he was going to be, right? But maybe he's actually legitimately good. I mean, he's got like an ERA just over three both the last 2 years, keeps really out pitching his peripherals. He's got that dog in him, as they say. He's got that bulldog mentality,
Yes,
and
because he's been, like you're saying, he's been outperforming like his FIP and all that stuff. And you think, is that a fluke? But after a while, you keep like kind of like a Kyle Hendricks back in his.
Right.
If you keep outperforming it, maybe you're doing something that's helping him.
Right, because I mean, when you watch him, you're like, I mean, it seems pretty good, right? Like you watch it all happen. This is how sometimes you can maybe get tricked where you don't really rely on the numbers as much, but it feels like there's more truth to it than the numbers say, I guess. Like I'm willing to buy it more, and the guy definitely like he's a grinder and he steps up more in some of those big spots. So I'm buying on him. Like I'm probably not to the level of his numbers the last 2 years, but that he's a legitimately solid MLB pitcher that can start you some games and be a nice weapon out of the bullpen. Basically that Swiss Army knife kind of guy. So he's really interesting. And then, the big thing then is the I think two guys on the farm, right? And Ben Brown, who looked brilliant this spring.
Yes.
He has frontline upside, and he was honestly my favorite pitching prospect until like midseason last year. And he had some struggles in Iowa
Yeah.
late in the year, a lot of walks, all that kind of stuff. But he also mixed in some great starts with a lot of strikeouts. And this spring, he looked like that guy. A small sample, but you watch him and you're like, geez, this guy has a lot of upside.
If he doesn't walk people, he can be very good. But the problem
Yes.
is, will he walk?
Right. So, he's got to cut down on the walks. I'm hopeful that they give him a little bit of a longer look. I mean, I think they're going to, as a starter in Iowa, see that through a little bit more. But even if that were to fail, or if they wanted him to help in the bullpen this year, I think that he has lights out ability in the bullpen and can be a really, really fun, 3 to 9 out kind of guy. Especially if his stuff plays up that way. So he's definitely a really, really big wild card and someone to keep an eye on. And then, Cade Horton is like he's as good as pitching prospects come right now. Like I don't know, maybe he's not like Paul Skeens or whatever, but he is a big time pitching prospect and probably the best one that the Cubs have had since I would say the Mark Pryor Juan Cruz days. He's definitely a bulldog. He's got the mentality. He's got a filthy slider, good fastball. Like I'm hopeful that Cade Horton is throwing big league innings this year and potentially really important ones. And I would not be surprised if that's before the All-Star break. If they're not going to like put that in stone or anything, but if
No.
he is progressing well and he keeps piling up these good outings, it's like, all right, we don't want to waste too many more bullets of him in the minor leagues, right? So this is a guy that was pitching big games in the College World Series. Like he probably doesn't need too much more seasoning if he's progressing well. So that's potentially a big weapon for either your rotation or your bullpen, both of those guys as the season goes on. So I think that that right there is kind of the way of how can this, you're looking at this team, it's like, how can this team go from like a low 80s kind of projection to maybe even the not like being a 90 plus win team or winning the NL Central or whatever. I think that getting returns and legitimately impact from, Brown, Horton, PCA, Matt Shaw, Canario, those kind of guys, like that's a big way that that can happen. So I think that's also part of why they maybe sat out a couple of potential free agency moves. I don't know if I would have necessarily done that. I think the luxury tax probably played into that
Yeah,
too,
probably the two of it.
but I think that they have a lot of hope that they're going to get some legitimate contributions from their minor leaguers soon.
So I guess we'll talk a little bit about the bullpen in general. Bullpens are just so hard to predict. And obviously the Black Cubs really ran out of steam at the end of the year with injuries and stuff, and the bullpen just couldn't stretch out. But I like some of the moves they make, but what do you think?
Yeah, it's that's another thing where I would have liked like one more kind of like lockdown eighth, ninth inning guy. But I love Adbert Alzolay. I wish we could just clone him. I wish we could have like one to two more of him and I'd feel a lot better about it. But I like some of these arms. I mean, we talked about like Ben Brown potentially being a big, weapon there. Like I'm trying to think of who else off the top of my head. Let me see. Hector Neris was obviously a big addition there too. That's a guy that's a long time solid major leaguer. He's someone that you can probably you'll feel pretty good about him being in the seventh or eighth inning. And he can close some games if he has to too. Very Pedro Strop kind of just in his career and his profile and everything. And then, Julian Merriweather, there's another guy who was he was so good last year. I'm not like counting on that. Like I'm hopeful that he can continue that, but if he can do anything like he did last year, that's a big help. Mark Leiter Jr. is essentially a left-hander. It's funny in that he's got that splitter that is so hard to hit for lefties.
What it's on.
And the most interesting guy to me is Luke Little
Yes.
because I mean that guy is a mountain of a man. 6 yeah, 6'8", nasty stuff from the left side,
Yeah, I get it.
massive.
98 on the gun for a lefty. That's insane.
And he had massive strikeout numbers at every level, even with the Cubs. Let's see, Chicago Cubs last year, 12 strikeouts in 6 2/3 innings. And honestly, that was one thing about Ross that did annoy me is that this guy didn't get more of a chance down the stretch because frankly he had way more upside than some of the other arms that were used. And but that's the past. This is the kind of guy you have to give a real chance, and I'm glad he made the team. He should have made the team, and I'm very, very glad that he did because, not saying he's necessarily going to be their Josh Hader or anything, but he has that kind of like ceiling. He's got that high upside ability from the left side. And like, I don't really know if you're a left-handed hitter, how you can get comfortable with this guy. And I think his stuff plays with his fastball and his breaking stuff versus righties too. So if you're looking for somebody that could be that like really, really high ceiling, potentially awesome reliever, it's Luke Little to me. I mean, I really hope that even if he has some struggles early on, that they just let him work through it and tell yourselves that, hey, live through some hiccups in April and May to hopefully get the reward in August or September because this guy has so much talent. So you got to give chances to guys like this. And that's what Craig Counsell and the Brewers did the last several years, and it was a huge, huge part of their success.
I guess we can wrap it up here, and it's going to be fun. And I don't like to do predictions, so I won't. But yeah, it should be, they should be at least in it for the most of the year, and that'll be fine.
I would be very disappointed if they're not at least well in the NL Central mix for pretty much the whole year, right? Like, because this is just not a great division
No.
on paper for one. Like, there's going to be a surprise team probably. There's also probably going to be a team or two that does worse than the projections think, but these are all like those mid to high 70s, low to mid 80s teams on paper. I think that youth is going to play a huge part in this division for every single team. We've talked about it with the Cubs. The Cardinals got a couple of interesting guys like Mason Winn, young shortstop that throws like 100 miles an hour. The Brewers got Jackson Churio and constantly have young, interesting players. The Pirates, they have O'Neill Cruz coming back. You know, he missed a lot of last season. The Reds got Ellie De La Cruz going to make a huge jump? Mm-hmm. The Reds probably need that because they're already without TJ Friedel and Matt McClain and some really, really talented guys. So that's going to play a huge part in the division. And I think just, you know, this NL wildcard race, which, you know, with the new format, you're not really talking much of a difference how you get in, whether it's the division or the wild card, unless you're like the tops, you know, seed or whatever.
And that would be absolutely shocking if it wasn't.
Yeah. If the Cubs are winning 95 to 100 plus games, things have gone really, really well. So we can worry about that whole scenario when that comes. But you want to get in, give yourself the best chance. But I would predict right now that the Cubs will probably win around 85, 86 games. That's kind of where I'm at. Like I basically picture it as like an 82, 83 win team on paper, which is what the computers think. And then I think that Craig Counsell and the farm system are going to be worth a few more. Or maybe they use that farm to add major league talent at the deadline.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a little optimistic, I guess, compared to, you know, the general projections, but there's also a world where that doesn't work out and they're in like the high 70s or something. So it's going to be really interesting.
So I guess on Twitter, of course, you can at the Block Binds and have some interesting replies.
Oh, yeah. Already off to a hot start there.
Seeing some wacky ideas and Matt slapping them down, you should follow him on.
I mean it all in good fun, I promise.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean.
You can follow me on Twitter at STH85. And you can subscribe to the podcast on the Apple Podcast app and Spotify. And yeah, we're in the regular season now, and hopefully it'll be a good season for the Cubs. And I will be back with more episodes, and hopefully we'll have good news to discuss. And like I said, I don't make predictions, but I do feel pretty good about this year. So hopefully the results will be there. And of course, go Cubs.